Fill your cup and get ahead with WKGN. 1-3-4-0.
Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios in Knoxville, it's the Morning Show on Fan Run Radio. Here are your hosts, John Reed and Bob Baskerville.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Happy Friday to you. Friday, April 19th. John Reed, Bob Baskerville, Sam Beard here, kicking off this rainy Friday morning. Bob, how are you?
Good morning. I'm good. It's been a long week, but I was thinking back, considering that we're starting to get into a season where there's less and less to talk about, but I feel like we've had a pretty good week. Pretty good shows, good stuff to talk about. And we'll have more of it today. There's some stuff happening, so all good. How are you?
Just got to keep finding ways to piece it together. That's it. You just got to hope you get a little crumb here and there to get you through. Just another week of shows to get closer to football season. That's kind of the goal. But I am good. I slept great last night. Went to bed fairly early. But when I sleep great, I am sleepier when I wake up the next day. It's like I'm a bear hibernating. You don't wake up a bear before the hibernation is over. That's how I feel. So I'm more tired than usual, but I slept longer and better.
You slept too good. I said that like 2 days ago, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, you might be right. You might be right there, Sam. How are you?
Can't complain. I'm doing pretty well. I am kind of tired of some of this rain in the mornings, though. It's just kind of a pain in the ass.
What are you going to do about it?
Control the weather. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Was that story real? I saw a story earlier this week, I guess, about like maybe Abu Dhabi has been like creating like a weather machine.
And then now they've just flooded their country.
Yeah, but they accidentally used 2 years worth of rain at one time and just flooded their country. Is that real?
I think it is. I'm pretty sure I've seen a lot of videos of the streets getting flooded there.
Yeah, me too. But I was like, are people just making fun? I didn't see videos. I just saw one story and like pictures of it. So like, I didn't see like a lot of stuff. But I was like, that seems unfortunate. You know, you don't want to play God, you don't want to play weatherman, but Mother Nature, but to do it and then hit the wrong button. No, I said 2 days worth, not 2 years. Oh, my God.
It was like 6 inches of rain or something like that, and that's probably.
Is that enough to flood the streets? I mean, I guess if you don't, like, I imagine if it doesn't rain much, they don't have, like, the best, like, drain systems and everything and know how to get rid of it, but. You would think 6 inches. It looked worse in the pictures I saw. It looked like 2 feet of water is what it looked like.
Once I saw the videos and then all they said was it was 6 inches, I was like, man, they for how much money they got? They got bad infrastructure for weather.
Which I guess it doesn't rain there.
Yeah.
I guess they wouldn't have the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
What I saw was like, man, you know, 4, 5, 6 inches does a lot of damage. That, you know, now that I know what it is. I mean, because it looked like it completely ruined their whole entire life. Like, it looks like it ruined their whole country. Who knows how long it'll take? I don't know what their plan is. They're getting people out with buckets to, like, scoop it out. Like, they got a weather machine to take care, to do, like, some evaporation and all that. I don't know.
Surely.
Have you seen these pictures, Bob?
I've not seen any of that.
Yeah, there's a weather machine they got going, and they dumped a bunch of rain. Like they had Jim Carrey trying to escape. In a boat, and they hit the weather button and said, rain, rain, storm, more of it, more of it. That's a Truman Show reference, Sam. Ever seen it?
Some of it.
Turn it off? It was too boring for you?
It definitely wasn't my favorite show.
It was a movie, but either way. Anything exciting last night?
No. Man, there's just nothing in sports, really.
Yeah, I took a night off from sports. It was nice. So, you know, like,
it was very nice, honestly. I agree.
The hockey playoffs haven't started yet, right?
No, it was like the last regular season games. You got the playoffs set, I guess, yes, last night.
It's never a good sign whenever you turn it to ESPN, you see hockey. I'm like, okay, that means nothing else is going on at all because they've thrown a bone to hockey. Check next, change.
Yeah.
Bob, anything interesting for you last night?
No, I finished watching the HBO limited series, The Regime, with Kate Winslet. And kind of felt like 6 hours of my life. I always end up finishing stuff out, even if I'm not feeling it. I was like, I'm just going to write it out and see if it turns. And
oh, wow.
This one didn't. It was only 6 episodes, but they spent a ton of money. I mean, in terms of like how it looked, the way it was shot, all of that stuff. I mean, it was really well done, but kind of a ridiculous story, I have to say.
I feel like life's too short for that, Bob. I pull the plug quickly whenever a show's gone the wrong way for me. I made some mistakes in the past, and I said never again. And whenever a show loses me, I just don't watch anymore.
Well, this is one of those. It was kind of an in-betweener. It wasn't, in hindsight, I look at it, it's like it wasn't very good, but it wasn't. I've done that. I've had to pull the plug on a couple of things, particularly some Netflix series. It seems like they do more of those than any, where it's you recognize you're watching kind of volume produced, beyond mediocre stuff, and I bag out. But this one, I was like, it's only 6 episodes. I don't think it's that good. I didn't think it was terrible, but for all the hype that was around it, I was not impressed.
You are a TV junkie because there's so many of the Netflix shows that I just don't even bother to put on. I can't think of any. I don't think I've out now on random Netflix movies. Yeah, I'll throw random Netflix movies on all the time because at the very least it's background noise to when you lose interest and start picking up your phone and do something else. But a TV show feels like more of a commitment, and Netflix only gets me with the things that seem highly acclaimed. I'm never first to a Netflix show. I'll wait and let other people tell me if it's good or not. But, yeah, I'm not random. There's so many randomly that I look at. I'm like, okay, do I hit play? I'm like, it says series. Nope, never mind. I'm out. Just because, like you said, just mass-produced. And I don't know. I guess it's easier for me to digest the slop when it's a movie versus a commitment to multiple episodes.
Yeah, so I watched that, and like you guys said, I tried to search for some sports, even though I knew there really wasn't any. I was like, let's just see what's on. I did watch like 2 minutes of, this is when you know your football program is not in a good place. Indiana University had their spring game last night on a Thursday night.
Well, I also saw this, their first spring game in like a long time, right? Like, I mean,
yeah, maybe, I don't know.
I think I saw that like they're actually celebrating that they're having a spring game at all, and like they're like, hey, this is a investment in the program, because for a while they had just canceled the spring game because they knew there wouldn't be enough interest and like nobody cared. But I guess the new coach coming over from James Madison wanted to do it. I don't know.
Yeah, so I literally watched, it was on Big Ten Network, I saw about 2 minutes of that, and I was like, I don't want to watch sports that badly. I was like, I'm good. But in hindsight, it was kind of nice not having it, because it's going to ramp up again now with NBA and NHL and all that stuff. Got a big baseball series this weekend for the Vols, so there's a lot.
Maybe their stadium's finished? Hasn't Indiana been redoing their football stadium for a long time?
Yeah, it's pretty much done at this point. It's excuse me, it's kind of a cool stadium.
Yeah.
Smaller. I think capacity is about 60,000, but boy, yeah, football's just not a thing there.
No. Sure. No, it's not.
And lately basketball's not been a thing there either.
No. No, it hasn't been. The best they got was to watch Michael Penix at Washington.
By the way, speaking of Penix, have you noticed that he's climbing again on, I know you don't like to pay attention to mock draft boards, but I'm watching now as we're getting close. That's the other thing. We got draft next week, which will be good. But, he's on some of these. He's moving up near the top 10 again.
I'm filing that one under. I'll believe it when I actually see it on draft night. I think, like, we've run out of things to talk about. So, like, it happened last year with Will Levis. It happened the year before that with Malik Willis. where you start talking yourself into extra quarterback prospects and, like, keep an eye on this guy in the first round. And then when you actually get there, you realize these teams aren't that desperate for first-round quarterbacks where they're like, okay, we'll just take Penix in the second round. Like, I don't know where he's – where's he been mocked to?
Well, one I saw, and this one I do – I kind of had an eye roll to, was to Atlanta and saying Atlanta will pick, you know, pick him as Kirk Cousins' successor. It's like, you don't even have him on the field yet. You know, let Cousins have a couple seasons.
Well, I mean, he is 36 years old coming off of a torn Achilles. So, I mean, I guess you have to think of somewhat of a succession plan. But it's weird to have the old quarterback be the successor in waiting. Like, you would think you'd have a project quarterback that would sit. But Detroit did the same thing with, you know, Hendon Hooker, you know, who was also older. And, you know, drafted him to sit behind Jared Goff. Although, different level of investment doing it in the mid-round picks versus the first round. So, like, I'd be shocked if it was, like, Atlanta taking Penix. I don't know who will take him. The last update I saw from the draft was, I guess, the main character was Sean Payton and the Broncos, who have said that they are definitely willing to mortgage the future and trade the farm to get their quarterback this year.
Yeah, I saw
whatever
that
means. I don't know who that means or what, but...
Yeah, I mean, some of the pieces they're talking about are, you know, depending upon how high up they wanted to trade. I mean, if they wanted to get up near four or something, they were talking about, like, Cortland Sutton and Sertan. And Sertan would be a good one, but I don't know. I don't know if that warrants moving, you know, if you're trading that pick away. I don't know if that warrants it.
Yeah, I don't know. And we're at the point now where it's all – feels everything that comes out now feels like smoke screens. Like, it's last-minute smokescreens. Like, I feel like last year you had a bunch of crazy stuff come up about a week before the draft, and none of it ended up being true. Like, I mean, going into the draft last year, Sam, I remember just being completely convinced that the Titans were trading up to get CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
That's what all the smoke was, and then they stayed put and did nothing. Like, I mean, so, like, I feel like this is last-ditch efforts to try to confuse people. But, you know, I'm excited for the draft next week. It'll be nice to have the NFL be back front and center. And it'll be nice to put this to bed. I'm over the pre-draft process. I'm ready to actually get to the draft and start thinking about the rosters that'll be in place. And then, you know, when you get through the draft, you'll finish out the free agency market because it kind of quieted down waiting for the draft to see what you could do in terms of some of the – especially like the high names, the big-name high-dollar safeties. Like, you know, they never really found a home. They're just like, oh, we'll wait till after the draft. So I'm excited for that.
Did you see those Lions uniforms yesterday?
I did. Look sharp.
Beautiful.
Sharp beautiful team.
Yeah.
Good-looking team. Mm-hmm. The blue on the helmets, the face mask, nice touch.
Yeah.
They're sharp-dressed.
You like the black one?
I did.
Yeah.
I'm not a big jersey guy. The only thing I care about with jerseys is, like it, don't like it. And it's just a snap reaction. I don't start, like, looking into the details and everything, but I'm like, looks good. Doesn't look good. That's how I judge.
I didn't see a new version of the gray jersey, and that's fine by me. I thought that when they wear that all gray, it looks a little strange to me. I love the blue. That blue is awesome. What do they call it? Honolulu blue.
Guess who screwed it up, though? Fanatics.
Really? Because I didn't see exactly what happened. I saw it leaked, but then I saw something in the Detroit presser where somebody gave a wink and almost acted like they were that Detroit purposely leaked it just to get the attention out. I don't know. So how is Fanatics getting blamed for this one?
I saw that apparently, like, before the jersey reveal, like, Fanatics leaked an ad basically on either, like, Detroit's website or NFL Shop, where it was just
really
a leaked ad of the picture of the three jerseys.
Okay.
And then,
it wouldn't surprise me.
And then I saw, like, later in the day, the Lions tweeted out some video of some dude who was wearing the new jerseys, and he was like, thanks for ruining our surprise video. Like, we worked really hard on this video, but I guess we'll just post it anyways.
See, I feel like it's almost a nice, soft rollout when you accidentally leak it and you get people talking, like, looking for it, and then, boom, we drop it out, and it's as good as you thought. Like, that's how I view it. I don't know. But, since you guys didn't ask, you know, my night, you know, not really that interesting either. I went to the movies as I'm, you know, my weekly movie visit. Went to the movies last night.
What'd you see?
Scary movie, Abigail.
A little
girl ballet dancing vampire. It was all right. It was solid. I liked it. I saw my guy when I walked in. The first guy I saw, I don't know if I've told you guys about him, but last year he told me we were sitting there talking in front, before a movie, and he was like, this is my 185th movie of the year. He's like, I'm trying to get to 200 by the end of the year. And he was there, front and center, when I walked in, locked in. Guy's a beast. I gave him a head nod. He didn't remember me because he's probably sat next to, you know, 200 different people and had similar conversations with. But I gave him a head nod. He did not reciprocate.
That's tough.
Yeah, it was a little tough, to be honest. I was like, it was kind of like, oh, what's up, man? Like, head nod. I was like, I was kind of excited to see him. And he just looked at me like, who the hell is this guy?
Those suck.
Yeah, so I just kept walking. Luckily, my seat was not next to him. It was on the other end. We're both front row sitters, though.
Yeah.
Both. Everyone in the movie, you know, most people in the movie, like there's probably like 20 people in the movie, 25 people in the movie, and like 12 of us, boom, first row, feet on the rails type of thing. But
does that show the movie experts, you think? The guys that go get the,
you know, I don't know,
front row seats?
I kind of feel like it does, but I don't know. I don't want to go that far because some people still like the middle and like, you know, like 15 rows up middle, but I like to have my feet up. I don't know.
I'm just thinking if you treated that like you know, like, well, when we sat kind of together at basketball games, there's people you end up starting to know. But, it, you know, at a sporting event, it's a little different. You high five and stuff. Like, if something, a big moment in the movie, you're like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You go over to the
you know,
other guy.
And that was kind of the relationship I was trying to start there, Bob, with the head nod. And he said he didn't have any room in his crew, no room in his heart. He's a lone wolf. And
you could have had a partner weekly to go see a movie with.
Well, I didn't want
like
that.
A back-to-back review.
And you know what? I'm kind of happy that he didn't head nod me once you say that, because like I don't want it to become a thing where we have to do it every time we see each other. Because I've seen him like three other times since that night, but this is the first time like we've been like making eye contact. I see him in the concessions, you know, talking to people. He's a real celebrity there. Like, he knows everybody. I see a couple people that recognize me or that, you know, I've got some type of rapport with. We'll strike up some conversation at the concession line. Oh, what are you going to see? Oh, here's what I'm seeing. Oh, okay, cool. See you, man. That's kind of the...
You're an in-and-out guy.
Yeah, this guy's out there yucking it up. And there's another woman that I told you was crying, you know, after Civil War. She was back with the bartender. It might just be her drinking spot. I don't know, because, like, she was there getting more drinks and looked nice. I mean, she was dressed up. Maybe it's a date night thing for her. I don't know. But, yeah, she was there yucking up with the bartender. So I feel like I'm a regular, but I guess I'm not. Either that or I'm just too shy. I need to be more outgoing, really assert myself a little bit better.
They see you, and it's like coming through the entry. There's John Reed. Get the popcorn, heavy butter.
Popcorn and dew. Although, yeah. No butter, Bob. I'm no butter.
Oh, sorry.
No butter.
Needed it for the bit. Sorry.
Yeah. No butter. Come on. I would be in the bathroom the entire show if I tried to load up in the butter. Although a guy I did see do the straw trick where he put the straw in the middle of the popcorn and then like was running the butter down through the straw to let it get down to the bottom. And I was like, this looks disgusting when you do it. I would you could do it, Sam, because you're a fit young man and like I wouldn't judge, but this guy's a little bit heftier.
Okay.
Even heftier than me. And like I was like, you're setting yourself up to really get judged when you're making sure the butter gets all the way down to the bottom of the bag. Like when you're taking the time to set up some concoction, some science project to get it down, like you're setting yourself up. The woman with him, you know, she had to be judged too, but she looked like she liked butter too. No offense to her if she's listening, but like
it's a tough look to do the straw trick.
Yeah,
you get it all over your hands. You feel gross.
Yeah,
it's really not worth it.
You could probably pull it off because, like I said, you're young, you're tall, you're in shape. No one's gonna judge you. Now, who knows how your metabolism's going to age, you know, right. Sam? Maybe 10 years from now, all of a sudden you get your little gut on you. You know, maybe that butter trick, you're going to have to put it on the shelf. I don't know. I'm not trying to wish that on you. Some people have good genetics. Some people's metabolism never slows down. Maybe you'll be fine.
I don't think I'll be doing it long term.
Yeah, you know, it's just going to hit different if you gain, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25 pounds.
You really want to turn some heads, take a swig off that straw.
Lick it clean.
Oh, that would be creepy.
So, yeah, that was my night. And then I came home, I watched a couple episodes of TV, and then I was in bed by, like, 11. I was just tucked in at 11, which is good for me.
Yeah.
Good for me. All right, Tennessee. Man, it was kind of tough to see and listen to. You could hear the pain in Rick Barnes's voice yesterday. A little bit of a fire lit under him, too, it kind of seemed like. I couldn't decide which it was. Was it pain and I'm kind of giving up on the era of college basketball? Or is it like, hey, I got some stuff to prove? We'll talk about it after the break. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the coach?
Someone told me long ago, there's a calm before.
All right, Bob, what is the big story of the day here in Knoxville?
We keep trying to say we're going to move off of it, but...
We can't move off of it. It's the story. Like, as the world turns, Portal Edition, like, there's something new every morning to kind of dissect. But some days it feels like we're scraping. But I think today, you know, we finally had the head honcho.
Yeah.
The boss man. He has spoken.
Yeah, I think, honestly, when I say all that, it was good to hear from him, to get out there. I was going to say get out in front of it, but that's kind of past. It's been talked about so much for the last week plus, really when all this stuff started percolating with Tobey and then with Jonas. And nonetheless, Coach Barnes got out there, did a presser yesterday. It felt to me while I was watching, you know, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, specifically about Tobey's situation. It just felt once – Coach started talking a little bit about the situation and how it began really with Jonas. It was a little bit of uncharacteristic dysfunction with the team, and not really a criticism. It's just, it's rare that it happens there. And you can tell that it bothered Rick, you know? I mean, again, he was told by Jonas, apparently he was fine. You know, maybe you want to dig a little deeper after seeing that Purdue game and how his body language was at the end of the game and when they returned to Knoxville. I get that, but, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. Jonas, you know, those guys, we call them kids, but they're grown up enough to, you know, if they're saying they're okay, you gotta take them at their word to some degree, and that's where all this kind of started to slide, it sounds like.
You know, I said really over the last 2 weeks, just trying to put myself in Barnes' shoes, and I have talked about, like, just how disappointed and heartbroken he probably is with, you know, both Jonas and Awaka. Freddie and Jefferson, those two made sense, seeing them leave. Like, things didn't necessarily go well for either one of them. You know, you couldn't argue. Jefferson, never really a factor at all, never even really a thought at all. Freddie, you know, some minutes here and there. It made sense to see those guys hit the portal. Those are your transfers, even without the era of NIL and transfer portal. Those guys still would have been transfer options 15, you know, 20 years ago. That's not the case with Jonas and Awaka. Like, those are ones, as coaches, you probably feel like, hey, we've done everything right. We've developed them. We love them. Barnes, for most of the year, spent some time in his media availabilities talking Jonas up and talking about how good he was and how he could be one of the best big men in the entire country. Like, talked about that, like, how they feel, you know, good going, you know, with him going up against the elite bigs and how he can be an elite big, and, you know, really tried hard to gas him up. I don't know if it was like a coach trying to build a player's confidence up to make him play better, or if, you know, if Rick Barnes actually thought it, or if he's trying to help, you know, hey, keep your head up. If you do struggle against those guys, you're just as good as them. I don't know what Barnes's reasoning for it was, but Barnes went out of his way often to talk highly of Jonas and his impact and his talent. And then, you know, yesterday for him to be like, look, yeah, I'm surprised. He told us everything was okay. You know, it's like you've been blindsided. You know, I know I keep comparing the transfer portal to relationships, but I mean, it's similar. Like, it is all, you know, about relationships, and you think about certain things, and if you keep asking and you're doing the communication and you're trying to check in with your partner or your person and being like, hey, you good? You happy? And like, yeah, I'm happy. It does hurt a lot more when all of a sudden you come home and everything's gone. You're like, what the hell? It's one thing if you're fighting, you know, if you can tell that something's going wrong and you both kind of know, like, hey, we're headed for a breakup. Hey, this doesn't make sense. That's one thing. It's a little bit easier to swallow than, like, hey, I thought everything was good. Why didn't you tell me you were unhappy? And that's kind of the way Rick Barnes seemed yesterday, because he's like, hey, you know, we checked in with Jonas. Said he was good. Said he was happy. And now, you know, he's gone.
Yeah, I think to your point, and he even, I think back, he talked about it on his first appearance on our show about Jonas. He did hype him, but I think it's because he believed in him too. I think he believed in the evolution. And yeah, Jonas hit a rough spot towards the end of the season. But I think now, and it's funny because I was listening to a few shows yesterday where people were still calling in going, yeah, I think at this point, got to move on from Jonas. It's like, buddy, they for sure, after what I heard yesterday, they've moved on. And it sounds like Jonas has moved on too. I mean, he's being courted by, they're now mentioning four big schools. You know, there's Baylor, Carolina, Ole Miss, and of course Cal is in the mix on a lot of stuff right now with some level of interest. So we got to just, it's almost like there's two parts of the story in a lot of ways. Jonas kind of started it all. And now, you know, he went from I'm fine to I'm gone. And then there's the Tobe piece, which I think Rick was pretty kind, but pretty clear yesterday. Like, we love him, but you know, it's kind of like what we talked about yesterday in the morning show, that I think maybe they're like, make up your mind, because we're moving on with or without you, you know, at this point. And I don't blame him for feeling that way, because this feels like it's been a saga at this point.
It seemed like he was trying to be nice to Tobe to make him feel welcome, but also you could hear the frustration and read the frustration of like, hey, you know, we got to figure out this roster. Was there anything with Rick's body language or quotes that really stood out to you?
No, I even communicated with Ryan Shumpert a little, who was there covering it, and we'll be able to get a little more from Grant Ramey later in the show too. But Ryan just said he felt generally positive, but he goes, you know, I've seen him enough to know, you know, I was a little put off. He's frustrated. I have to say though, I think it was maybe a little overdue, but it was the right time to get out and remind the fan base that, hey, we are really working to, you know, rebuild this thing. And when we say rebuild, it's not a rebuild like we're seeing in other places like Kentucky and Arkansas. This is still a team that has a lot of capability. We just want to make it better, but we need some clarity to get there. And some of it is with our guys. And so I was happy to see that. And I also, I don't know if any of you saw or heard any of the sound from Zakai and Jemai Mayshak. And I'm going to tell you, if for anybody who's listening, if you haven't checked those out, some of those interviews with them from yesterday, it's going to make you feel better. It's going to make you feel better about all of this, because those guys, for all the questions we had about Jemai maybe just a week ago, there's no questions now, man. He is so all in, and he may have been already, but for sure they're saying the right things. Somebody asked Sakai about, you know, trying to keep the culture intact. Is that hard? He's like, it's not hard at all. There's no pressure. He goes, that's what we, you know, we believe in it, and that's what we do. Mayshak making comments like, hey, I love those guys, but if they're not going to be a part, wanting to be a part of this, then that's fine. We only want people who are bought in on this program. That made me feel better. It's like those two guys at the front of the charge, I still think we're in pretty good hands. We just got to get some more talent in.
It would be tough to be Zakai and Mayshak. And you know, Mayshak said, hey, you know, it's we don't take it personal. If somebody wants to leave, we get it. But, like, it would be hard not to take it personally. Like, if someone jumps ship and leaves your organization, leaves your team, and goes to, you know, a competitor, or looks, you know, to go somewhere else, you do take it a little personally, especially whenever, you know, like Tennessee, you're a top 10 program. You have success. If you're Zakai and you're Mayshak, you probably feel like you got some unfinished business. You probably feel like, hey, you know, a couple of tweaks here and roll the dice again, and we still think we could be a Final Four team and win a championship. Like, you still think you're the best team in the SEC. So to lose a couple of your running mates, it would be hard not to take it personally. Sam, your thoughts on Rick Barnes' comments yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely stings, and I think he's, you know, I think he's got a right to kind of be that upset with Adu and things like that. And, you know, I think you could definitely tell kind of the tone between the two players. I think the door is completely shut on Adu, and, you know, he's leaving it open for Tobe, but he's saying, hey, man, this is, you know, this is a fast-moving world that we're in now, and, you know, we can't just wait around for you. And, you know, like you were saying, John, I think it does sting because, I mean, it's guys that you've been on a Sweet 16 and Elite Eight run with, and you just haven't, you know, you feel like you're still right there on the doorstep, and there's still things to accomplish, and there's still another year with that core still intact, and then, you know, to kind of just blow it all up and go get the biggest money offer out there, I think it definitely hurts those guys on the team as well.
Well, who knows, you know, exactly what the big money offer is with Jonas? Yes, I think I think that's right. But with Iwaka, we don't even know like what's going on. If I'm those guys and I'm looking at him, I'm like, come on, bro, like you got what you want. Where are you gonna go now? Like, I don't know. It'd be hard not to take it personally. It would, and you know, you hope that those two guys are two that do take things personally and both play with chips on their shoulder. So like, it does make me a little excited to see those two playing a little angry next year. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. And you see it yesterday. You've seen it over the last week or so. It does feel like Jemai Meshack has been promoted to like lieutenants. He's number two here in the pecking order. Like he's the guy's running mate, and he's going to be one of the leaders of the team. And whenever you take that into consideration, it does make you worry less about the culture. Like Zakai said, the culture is going to be fine. The culture is what it is, and those two guys are leading it, and that's got me excited.
Yeah, no, I agree. They both had, not surprisingly, I suppose, Coach had the same good things to say. They all had good things to say about D-Stone as well, saying that they believe right now, seems he's all about winning. He's going to be a great cultural fit. So that's good. That's why I think when you see things like yesterday, when Bill Self goes out and gets another, you know, elitely talented guy, but a guy who bounces every single year in AJ Store, he's literally been at a different school during his entire high school and college career each year. That's just not the way Tennessee rolls on this. And so maybe that's why, you know, we haven't heard so much on Igor. And the Cade Tyson one's, I think, a little different. I think he's the one that's holding that one up. But I think that there's definitely I think it's a positive thing. I think that, again, after listening to those guys yesterday, those guys being Z and Jemai, I think that let's not lose sight of the fact this is still a good program. They lost four starters as a result of graduation and transfer portal, but I look at it as more reloading than rebuilding. I think it's going to be all right. I really do. It would be good to just get some some sort of conclusion, namely on Tobe, and then maybe on some of these other transfers that we've been looking at.
Do you think we have an answer by Monday? By the time we're in here on Monday morning?
I'd be surprised if we don't at this point. Because what, they're also in the last week going into next week, I think. Maybe it's a little more than a week, but the 30th, it's similar to what the spring football deadline is. But, yeah, they got to get some of this stuff resolved, and the players do, too, for their own sake. So, yeah, I mean, we keep saying that. I think our milestone this week was Wednesday, and well, we've heard some stuff, but really nothing that's, you know, again, it's pretty inconclusive right now.
Rick Barnes is old school, probably wants an old school type of program where,
yeah,
you know, they talk about this generation and you know, even down to the newer millennials. But, like, that's what, when you're describing AJ Store, I mean, that's what, for the most part, this generation does in terms of jobs. Like, older generation probably worked one or two companies their entire life, and people my age and younger, they've usually worked for like five companies by the time they're 30. Like, it's kind of a every year, every 2 year thing, you move up. But like, when you're moving up, that's how you get promoted, and like, you know, that's how you get raises. So
right.
I'd imagine Store, you know, who you pointed out, who's been at different places, he's probably made a bunch of money and gotten a raise every time he's left.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of his version of the gig economy there.
Right. And meanwhile, Rick Barnes wants that loyalty of like, hey, you come here, you're here for 4 or 5 years, and you work and you're loyal, and we'll take care of you. We'll give you a good retirement package.
Yeah, no, that's right. I think to put a bow on it, or we can continue it on after the next break. But again, as I watched yesterday, we've talked about this before. It's like, are we looking at a coach who's in his head like, man, like, get me through this, and I'm going to do one more season and be, you know, I just think it's got to be incredibly frustrating for someone like him. Like you just said, that it's all about development and being in it for the long haul versus just for the moment.
If you want to weigh in on that topic, 865-288-3131. I know it's early, but maybe you got something you want to share. You can also send us a post on X or in the Fan Run Discord. Shout out to the 37 Club, fanrunradio.com/the37club. Looking forward to the golf tournament tomorrow. We put up a pretty fun conversation yesterday, actually. Me, Bear, and Marcus had about a 50-minute chat. 22 of it hits your regular podcast feed. And then the mailbag portion was an exclusive for 37 Club members. But it was pretty good. Gotten some good reviews on that. So if you want to listen to that, sign up. Become a 37 Club member today. fanrunradio.com/37. Rick Barnes and his future. I think there is more of a conversation we can have there because, yeah, that was something that stood out to me yesterday. And I was swapping some texts with some people that kind of agreed. We'll dive into that again. If you want to weigh in, 865-288-3131. Stick with us.
White Claw delivers a way.
Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Going to have some White Claw on deck for you tomorrow at the Fan Run Open. I think we only have one team spot left. So if you are holding off to the last minute, check your watch. It is the last minute. Sign up. Go. We got one team spot left. If you want it, you better get it. Yesterday, watching Rick Barnes and listening to him, it really just kind of washed over me that it's kind of surprising that Rick Barnes is still coaching. Like, it truly is. Like, I remember having the conversation after the Michigan loss. I was like, man, I don't think Rick Barnes. I thought Rick Barnes might retire that year after Kenny Chandler left. Because that was whenever you correct me if I'm wrong, but that was the Coach K hanging it up, right? Like, that was around 2022. Would that have been it? Yeah, so like, All of his contemporaries were getting out, and you kind of looked and said, maybe I'll have one more season. And you know, that was two seasons ago where, you know, we're talking about the roster for the third season after that. And it's just surprising to me that an older guy that has kind of proven everything he needs to prove, that has had a really good career, it's kind of surprising to me that he's still going through with this mess, because it is the Wild West, and it's annoying and it's frustrating. And yesterday it seemed like it has frustrated him and made him sad at times. And the money's nice, but I'm sure money's not an issue in the Barnes family after, you know, a long coaching career. So it's not the money he's doing it for. Yeah, the money's always nice. It's nice when those checks probably clear and you worry about, you know, setting up future generations. But, you know, that's not at this point what you're thinking about if you're Rick Barnes. So I wonder, like, why is he still doing this? Whenever what he's doing is completely different now than it was even, say, 3 years ago.
I think he's still, and I can speak firsthand, he loves the game. I mean, anytime I've spoken with him, we can kind of careen off into a conversation about ball, period. So he still loves the game. I just know he doesn't love what it's become. And you could see some of that yesterday.
And it's impossible to love what it's become if you're a coach, I would imagine. Yeah. I can't imagine any coach is happy with the state of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was thinking about this yesterday. It's like we've seen some of the big name, long tenure coaches drop off in the past few years. And I'm wondering, like, who's really left? And I mean, in that kind of category of Coach Barnes, I guess you would consider Calipari in there in terms of time served. Izzo is another one. Self has a lot of years logged, but I feel like it, for some reason, I don't know why, I kind of consider Self in a different category. It feels like he might have more gas in the tank. But you've heard Izzo recently, too, talking about his frustration with the way the game's become. And it just makes you wonder if we're, you know, in the next year or so, not right now, but next year or so, are we about to see another wave of some of these guys? Cal seems to be recharged at least for a few more years. But I'm thinking namely with our coach, with Izzo, those two in particular have me wondering.
Well, no, the transfer portal should work to John Calipari's favor. Like, I mean, yeah. He is a good recruiter. He is a good salesman. He's fine with the one-year rentals. Like, he's proven that, obviously, the last, you know, 15 years of his career. It's actually crazy to me that Kentucky wasn't better in the transfer portal. It was weird to me that he was so focused on freshmen versus trying to find, you know, big-time transfers, because it should be right down his alley. You know, at Arkansas, I'd imagine that's something he will change his approach on, because, you know, you see the value in getting older players versus the freshmen. But, like, yeah, I mean, Izzo complains. He's a curmudgeon. Barnes, for the most part, has kept everything fairly close to the vest. Even yesterday, I mean, like, I think we're reading the tea leaves, we're reading body language, we're reading context, and can tell that he's frustrated and can tell that he's a little beat down by it. But it wasn't like he came out and completely railed against the system yesterday. He's still right. Kind of playing that game where, you know, he's not necessarily blaming the kids or calling it, and, you know, them being entitled or talking about the game being in a bad place as much as it is just like, yeah, it's a little frustrating, but we're going to kind of keep doing what we can do.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a quote. I'm paraphrasing it here. I don't have it right in front of me, but there was a quote in his presser yesterday, something to the effect of, he was trying to maybe look at the silver lining, like, yeah, you know, we you know, you get to build, and we, you know, that part of it we like doing, we like building. But again, deep down, we know, I think we've gotten enough of a relationship with him to know what he's about and what he likes to create. And we talked about it in the last segment, man. It is not the Calipari rental car approach. It's more, I like to buy a car and take care of it, and, you know, it improves in value as much as cars do. Not a great analogy, but you know what I mean. It's the whole thing about keeping people around and watching them, you know, grow and prosper.
Do we think Rick Barnes would have a different take on this, or at least publicly have a different take on this, Sam, had he not had the season he just had with Dalton Connect?
In terms of, like, he would be more outwardly against the system if he had such a great transfer?
Yeah. It's almost like you can't come out and completely, like, rage against the machine when the machine spits you out Dalton Connect in your best season at Tennessee. And, like, you know, Dalton Connect, the best or second best Vol in the last, you know, 15 years, and depending on where you rank Grant Williams. So, like, if you're Rick Barnes, you can't really complain about it, especially whenever you're still trying to build your team through the transfer portal. Like, there are a couple of big names out there you're still trying to get, so you can't really come out and say anything too bad about it.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think that's definitely fair to say, because I think, you know, you get – it almost starts to become a turnoff for some of these recruits if you start to just complain about the landscape of college basketball and how difficult it is to get these kids in your program. I think they'd have other coaches being like, hey, you know, I'm all for you transferring here. So, yeah, I mean, I think there is an element of that for sure, but I don't think he's – you know, I don't think he's necessarily trying to hide that he knows that, you know, college basketball isn't in the most healthy place right now either.
I wonder if Barnes, you know, sees it as an opportunity also, because, I mean, like, it's frustrating, yeah, and, like, it's more work, and it's more tiptoeing and handling egos, and, like, that's probably the worst part about being a college basketball coach at a big school is handling egos and, like, having to make those personalities work. I'd imagine that's the biggest challenge each year. It's not – teaching them the system. He's been teaching and coaching for 40 years now at this point. You know, that's probably second nature to him. Hey, defend. Hey, get down. Here's the drills I want you to run. Go get on the Stairmaster. You know, go lose some weight. You're fat. Go through the program. Wake up, run. Like, here's a shooting drill. To me, that's probably second nature to all coaches. I don't know how much Rick Barnes is getting down and, like, learning new plays, X's and O's wise. You know, the assistants are kind of helping those. But, like, the challenge year in, year out is, like, making the egos fit. in my opinion. And now that is maybe as hard as ever before. I can't imagine there's a time where it would be any harder than it is now when you're dealing with egos and roles on teams, but with that is now like money. Because in the past, you'd be, hey, we ain't got any money. You know, we can't give you none of that. We can give you playing time, and that's on you. You earn it by how you practice. Now that's not the case. Now it's like, hey, I need my contract worked out, coach. I need to get paid. He's getting paid more than me, really? He's a scrub. You know, now you have to deal with that stuff. You never had to do that openly and legally before.
That's true. It's a tough one to discern in terms of how much his head will be in it. And when I say that, it's not like he's ever disconnected, but yeah, will he have that same fire that he had, you know, a couple years back before all this just started kind of going bonkers with the portal, et cetera. He kept talking a lot yesterday in the press conference too about he really put a fine light on it, and that was evaluation. Kept saying that, you know, that's really important to their process. Just probably a shout out to G-Reg a little bit too. But I think that was, in a way, I do think that that's his point in saying, while he may be towing the company line about, hey, we like, yeah, we can work with this. We like building with it. It was also, we're not going to forego the culture. We're just not going to do a land grab on every player that's talented and available. It's got to be the right fit. Has to be. And I think it's, some fans may disagree. I think that's, if nothing else, I mean, that's why I think if he can stay in the game and stand by those principles and create a team that can continue to, you know, be in the conversation for a Final Four, an Elite Eight, then, you know, I think that's good. Whether that's sustainable or not in this new era, I don't know. That's what it's going to be interesting to watch. And I guarantee you that's on his mind, is it sustainable for him? And I don't mean that from a perspective of, do I have it anymore? It's like, do I want to have it anymore?
Well, that's what the interesting part of the juxtaposition is, because, like, for as frustrated as he probably is, I've said it, and I do believe it. I think he's as good as he ever has been, especially at Tennessee. You know, I'm not going to act like I really remember the early 2000s Rick Barnes at Texas. It's been a long time ago. You know, maybe he was better then. I don't know. But you know, since he's been at Tennessee, and in the last, you know, 15 years, like, Rick Barnes is coaching at a higher level than he ever has. So, like, that's a part of the reason I don't know how much he can actually, you know, rage against the machine, because – so far, it's working for him. Now, you know, if this season goes sideways here, it's frustrating on the court as much as it is in the offseason. Then, yeah, like, that's when you definitely hang it up, when you're, because you, the season's probably still really fun for him whenever the team's actually put together. You suffer through a bad 6-week stretch where you're trying to put the roster together, but once the team's together, it's probably as fun now as it ever has been. And he talked about it with us, as he is a friend of the morning show, but, like, he doesn't know how many years he's got left. So, like, I imagine when you get there at the end, you do start cherishing those moments even more. So, like, for him to be as good as he is right now, and for the team to be as successful as it has been, for it to be, you know, nearer the end of his career, you do probably really cherish those moments when you actually get them. Once you get through all the BS and you kind of wade through it, so... as long as the team keeps winning, you know, maybe you deal with the frustration for a month.
Little anecdotal discovery yesterday was, I remember when we were talking about Darlin Stone DeBar, or Dubar, when his name first popped up on our screen, we were like, what's the nickname? It was, you know, we were saying D squared or, you know, Dubar and all these other things, but they even called him in the presser yesterday D Stone.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that neither one of you guys came up with D Stone.
I mean, I figured that would kind of just be there.
Oh, did you?
That seems like low hanging fruit.
It was just so obvious that I didn't even feel like I needed to point it out. It's like putting one in front of X when you're solving for X. Everyone knows it's one X. You don't have to say it. It's understood.
Well, you didn't have it either, though, right?
I wasn't coming up with nicknames, I don't think. I think that was your two's thing. I sure as hell didn't say D squared. I know that wasn't me.
Wasn't me either.
I don't know. I'm sure we said that. but anyway, yeah. It's great. It's easier to say than Darlin' Stone for sure. So D Stone, I love it. But yeah, that was getting mentioned in the presser. So I think that's gonna stick.
Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two. I'm interested to see what I missed last night because I didn't pay attention to any sports last night. So, Sam, I'm personally looking forward to about last night coming up. Grant Ramey on three coming up 8:20 as we talk a little bit more about the basketball program and the transfer portal and Rick Barnes. Big baseball weekend series. We've got a lot to talk about here in Knoxville. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.